And then, like, my brother came to me and he swore by the gold of the temple that he would pay me what he owes. Well, he's a debtor. He's got to pay. Because he swore by the gold. Loopholism. Finding loopholes in your oaths. As if any kind of oath you took. I swear by my coffee. I mean, isn't that, what difference does it make? Well, it's because the greatness of the object you swear by makes it more grave of an oath. What a stupid tradition. Really, you know, I swear by my tissue. And if I say, I'm telling you the truth, it's nothing at all. Well, that's not even an oath. You could just lie with impunity. You don't swear falsely. Because the commandment said, thou shalt not perjure thyself. You know, but, well, perform to the Lord your oaths. God did not give a commandment saying, make ye oaths. Because man had a tradition of taking oaths. And so God was, because of the hardness of their heart, saying, perform your oaths to me. Meaning, you will do what you say you do. What you say you're going to do, what you swear you're going to do, do it. And they had corrupted this into a form of legal loopholes. He's saying, yeah, you swear by the altar, you swear by it and all things thereon. And you swear by the temple, you swear by it and by him that dwells therein. You swear by heaven. By heaven, I will do it. You're swearing by the throne of God and by him that sits on it. You know, they were trying to avoid bringing God, maybe it was a sense of trying to avoid bringing God into the question. We'll swear by the gift. We'll swear by this. And they're trying to make minimal oaths. What oath is minimal? What oath is binding? What oath is the minimum oath that is binding? Because they know that an oath to God, that's binding. Well, people would be reluctant to bind themselves so strongly. I don't know if I want to call God into witness on this one, because they're dishonest. So they want to make an oath to say, oh, will you swear by God? Well, no, I don't want to swear by God. How about by the temple? Okay, the temple. The temple. I swear by the temple. And he bought it. I didn't swear by the gold. And he's saying, uh-uh. It all counts. What a blind way to guide people. You know, I see this kind of legal loophole, legalism, manifesting itself in other ways. In legalistic churches where they have legalistic doctrines. Not so much with the swearing. A lot of the churches who say they keep the Sabbath. Oh, we keep the Ten Commandments, not nine. Yeah. You know, we keep all ten. We keep the Sabbath. In fact, we keep it on the proper day, Saturday. You can't keep the Sabbath on Sunday. No. But then they go on their Sabbath day, and they do not keep it holy. You know, I don't believe in keeping any particular day holy. All days are holy alike to me. Christ is my Sabbath. He is my rest. I labor to enter into his rest on a daily basis. A daily basis. That's why I get up and I start teaching the Bible. That's how I enter into his rest. By laboring. By laying aside the cares of this life. And sticking and following after the things about his kingdom, seeking those things first. We covered the whole Sabbath issue in Hebrews. So if you need some more work on that, listen to my teaching on Hebrews. I want to make sure I equate this properly to this, the legalism of it. Because they say men ought to observe the Sabbath, but they observe the Sabbath in their own way. You know, if you say you're going to observe the Sabbath, then you're guilty. You got to hold the whole Sabbath. You're a debtor to do it. You know, you can't come together for a Sabbath day and have it be a day of gluttony, a day of worldly lust. You know, but they look down their noses at the people who don't keep the particular day they keep, while they themselves do not keep the day that they say they keep. You know, like they say, oh, well, we worship on Saturday like you're supposed to. As if the Sabbath day was a day just to observe observance. As if the Sabbath day was just a day to be at church. That's what the Sabbath is. Be at church on the Sabbath day, and that's the Sabbath day. And it's a legal loopholism. Like, as if just by sitting there, you're fulfilling, oh, now we're righteous. But we're going to continue. Verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. you blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Strain at a gnat might be better rendered strain out a gnat. You know, they strain the gnat out, and then they strain the gnat. They have a strainer, and we want to get out the gnat, but end up swallowing a camel. It's much like the mote and the beam. You know, the little things, they're very careful to observe. They made their tithes of, the tiniest spices, the mint and the anise. They gave the tenth part to God. Oh, we have to pay 10% of everything. So they were very careful to adhere to the letter of the law. The letter kills, but the spirit makes alive. To me, this is almost like the way they approach faith. They have the tiny part of faith. Oh, just believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and confess him with your mouth, and you're saved. That's to me like the tenth part. I'll give the little part of faith. I'll give the little faith that I want to give to God. But when it comes to the weightier matters of judgment, of mercy, of faith, the real matters of faith, the depths of faith, the faith goes beyond just the beginnings of believing that Jesus rose from the dead. I'm glad you believe that. Now, Jesus taught some things. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Believest thou this? Happy are the poor, happy are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Do you believe this? You know? If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Believe you this? He that commits sin is the servant of sin. You believe that? The grace of God, which bringeth salvation, teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. Do you believe that? There's a lot more to faith than simply believing in the resurrection, than simply believing in the name Jesus Christ. And the reason I spell it like that, because it is not a word we believe in. It is not a sound the mouth makes we believe in. Otherwise, we ought to pronounce it Yeshua HaMashiach, like the Jews do. We ought to pronounce it according to the proper pronunciation, because it is in the name of Jesus we're saved. But we're not saved by the sounds of the mouth. We are saved by the thoughts of the heart, by the doctrines of Christ, the entering into our hearts, change our lives, and bring us to the status of sons in the sight of God. See, that is what is important. The mercy of God. God is merciful. The grace of God, which brings salvation. The mercy of God. Grace and mercy are companions. It is the mercy of God. Whom he wills, he hardens. And whom he has mercy on,